And welcome to episode 71 of Man and Machine Podcast, presented by Archimedes International. My name is Matt Makoviak, and I'm your host for today's episode, alongside my co-patriot and captain of the Starship Enterprise, Dr. Ian Bett. Dr. Bett, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, Matt, it's been a busy past couple of weeks. Great to have you back off of training session for episode 71. We've had a plethora of new ideas, suggestions, and guests here recently. Episode 70, Matt, we had Dr. Jose Mori, Dr. Intergalactic himself, made a return. In episode 69, Kurt Bunker came back to talk about a digital detox. Episode 68, Dr. Chiara Longoni came to talk about the resistance to medical AI. 68, Dr. Anant Matabushi talking about leading the charge in medical AI. Holy smokes, Matt, we made it to episode 71 and people want to talk to us.
We did. And I want to give a shout out to Kurt Bunker, who got a shout out from Professor Galloway in regards to Apple. And that was one of his predictions, I think, for this year from Professor Galloway. So kudos to Kurt and his social media dominance as of late. So he's back, right? He's back on social media.
Kurt is off of his digital detox. That's going to be in an upcoming episode. So if you're listening to episode 71, definitely go back, take a minute or two, or just download the podcast from Spotify or Podbean or Amazon Music. That was episode 69 with Kurt Bunker, who's becoming a fan favorite here on Man and Machine Podcast. Might make this a quartet rather than just the three of us. We will see. So episode 71, Matt, thank you so much for leading the way on this snowy day.
Yes, it is here in beautiful Toledo, Ohio. The snow is falling and my coffee is hot. So it's a great day to record a podcast with you, Dr. Bett. So I want to jump into this article here that you sent to me, which was 10 AI predictions for 2022 off of Forbes.com. And we'll say Rob Toes, I think, wrote this article here. And I want to I'm going to go around the long way to get back to where we're going to get to with this podcast, Dr. Bett. But last night I was chatting with a friend that I made on Instagram, Whiskey Fee, who is a vlogger down in Australia. And he was posting that he recommended this bourbon with this donut in the morning. So, you know, I'm watching the Packers game last night. Obviously the Packers lost. I'm sorry, Wisconsin fans, if that's the case, but you know, time to move on. Rodgers is done. I will sidetrack away from that right now, but he was watching the game in Australia. So it was Sunday morning for him, Saturday night for myself. So I was asking him, how the future was going to go, you know, for me today with him seeing everything on a Sunday morning and I'm on a Saturday night. And I felt like this article that you sent me, we've been there, right? We talked about all of this before, and now the future is now. The future that you predicted, Dr. Bett.
Well, I'm not going to take sole responsibility for that. Shout out to all the Aussies in the listening audience. Whiskey Pete in particular. I haven't met Whiskey Pete, but goddamn, if you're going to have whiskey and a donut on a Sunday morning watching Packers football, you're basically an American. I'm just going to say that right now. But, you know, Forbes is one of our old standbys here. And that's not to denigrate its importance, but they're usually pretty thoughtful and forward-looking. And Rob, I think it is Toes, might be Taze. I tagged him on Twitter. We'll find out. Maybe he'll listen and he'll correct us or join us at some point in time. Yeah, he talks about his predictions for 2022. He did it for 2021 and then followed up. But we talked about some of these, and maybe he put these ideas into our mind. I can't take complete credit, Matt. But we definitely talked about some of these coming true, and they did. So
we did. We did, yeah. So how about let's take it from this angle here, Dr. Bett. I will read the prediction, and then you can give me your opinion on it. Then we'll riff on it like we always do. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay. So 10 predictions for 2022. Number one, I wish we had a drum roll. Maybe we can insert that later. Maybe we can talk to Zane about that. So number one, language AI will take center stage with more startups getting funded in NLP than in any other category of AI. Your thoughts?
Ooh, this is a bold prediction because it says than in any other category of AI. Artificial intelligence encompasses a lot of different technologies, but definitely one that you and I have talked about in multiple episodes on the Man and Machine podcast is NLP, which is natural language processing. The idea of being able to take spoken word and turning it into written word so that you can document or produce a product. And I think this is a reasonable, if we're going on a scale of 0 to 100, with 0 not happening and 100 like slam dunk, put your child's college savings on it, I'm going to go 75%. And the only reason I'm going to go 75%, Matt, is because there's so many other burgeoning technologies in the AI space. But the ability from a physician perspective of using natural language processing to document in real time is definitely something that's happening in the medical space. And I think it makes sense for all sorts of other realms. So even turning the audio from an episode like this into a document is using natural language processing. So it's already around us. And I think I'm going to give it a 75% likelihood.
I think what's most fascinating about this, Dr. Bett, is the new technology that's driving this is called transformers. And as we know, as children of the 80s, that it's more than meets the eye.
You know, I love the fact that we've made it this far. You know, evolution didn't take us out, Matt. COVID, we have survived so far, cross our fingers. But people like you and me who grew up around technologies that were coming into existence and then liked watching cartoons on a Saturday or Sunday morning are now making decisions and naming things like transformers. So I think we should just be mindful that if there's a Decepticon that gets named, that we all realize that's the bad guy.
I love it. I love it. No, I think this is very fascinating technology. And like you said, I mean, it's something that could grow very, very quick, but you know, you're kind of hedging. I wouldn't say you're hedging your bets with it, but you're kind of being cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way.
I agree.
So let's move on to number two, which is something that we did talk about on a previous episode of the podcast. We predicted the future, like I've been saying all along. So number two, Databricks, Data Robot, and Scale AI will all go public.
Yeah, so episode 35, we actually did a recap of a Forbes article for their predictions of 2021. And this was in May of 2021. So they had a little bit of a hedge. It wasn't January 1st, 2021 that they came out with their predictions. But on that episode, we shared our thoughts on what we thought were the most important technologies and companies. Lo and behold, Matt, Databricks, Data Robot, and Scale AI were all on that list. We had some overlap there. Now, the idea of them going public is another layer, right? Most companies seem to be going public. There are fewer and fewer private companies that are growing with any scale. SpaceX, I think, is probably one that people, if they thought about, that's actually not a public company. That is owned by Elon Musk. You know, it's not like Tesla, where he has made it public so that he can accrue more monetary value to invest. So I don't know the board or the CEO of these companies, but we'll tag you on the podcast. If you'd like to come on and talk to us about it and give us some of your perspective, we'd love to have you. I think there's a chance here. So I'm going to say for all three, because they name all three of these, I think there is a 33% chance that all three go public. So I'm definitely hedging my bets there. You could get one out of the three, two out of the three. I think if all three go public, holy smokes, AI is ready for the launch. I'm going to go 33% here. What do you think, Matt? What does your gut go here? All three.
All three. I'm going to go 50%. I'm going to go a little bit higher than you. But here's the thing. I mean, these are companies that help build AI for other companies, right? They're a resource, so they're kind of like that. You go to them when you want to provide this for your company, for your product, you know, whatever the case is. And you know, when you go public, it's really time to put up or shut up, right? So you've got someone like DataRobot who's hired Damon Fletcher for the CFO role for the company, and they usually bring in heavy hitters when it's time to go public. So I don't think they're messing around too much. I mean, all three, I mean, that's hitting a parlay, you know, on an NFL Sunday. Okay. All three might be few and far between, but I think they're all positioning themselves to be able to do this.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to an episode in the future where we go back and review who did the best between you and I here. This is our Sunday parlay on the Man and Machine podcast.
I will check with my friend in Australia after this podcast to see if anything happened in between, just to be safe.
Okay, perfect. The future. Yeah. I love it.
So number three is at least three climate AI startups will become unicorns. Now, to me, a unicorn is a rare bottle of bourbon, but in the world of AI and technology, a unicorn is someone that is going to blow up pretty well with their technology. So, Dr. Bett, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think the way that people on the inside describe a unicorn is a $1 billion valuation or more. So these are not any slouch companies. These are companies that likely have some international reach, not just domestic US reach. And, you know, obviously we are living the repercussions, I think, and there's obviously a debate in public on whether climate change is real or not. We've moved away from the term global warming because it seemed to confuse people. Climate change is, hey, the polar ice caps are melting. Bad news. So there's definitely a space for companies to be innovative. This is a wide, wide berth, you know, whether it's accruing carbon credits or developing technologies to plant more trees effectively and efficiently in parts of the globe that could help us slow some of this climate change. I'm going to go the opposite here. I went 33% with the last one because they said three. I am going 66% here that there's going to be at least three that get a $1 billion valuation.
Wow. I mean, that is a lot of money, but you know, it is the hot topic right now, and there is a need, there's a demand for it. I'm going to be honest, I need to look up the term enterprise carbon accounting. I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm going to do some research and I'll get back to you on that one.
Great. Yeah. And in this article, he does list several potential unicorns. So he gives us a little bit of a cheat sheet to follow along here. And we'll take a look on social media, see which one of them are available to be tagged, and we can more easily follow along on the Archimedes Twitter page. And also, for those that are listening, we finally got up a Man and Machine podcast Twitter page as well. So we'll make sure to follow these companies so that we can make you and I either look very, very smart or somewhat foolish, which we're okay with.
Well, that kind of leads into number four, Dr. Bett, which is powerful new AI tools will be built for video. So if people could see us now, we are rocking mustaches.
Yes.
And some stubble on our face. So, I mean, creepy or futuristic? Who knows?
Yeah, I think AI and video is currently associated most predominantly with deepfakes. Right? A very negative connotation of being able to make it look like someone said something that they didn't say, or putting someone's face on someone else's body, which is kind of funny. But what I think this actually means, and again, for the listening audience here on episode 71, artificial intelligence encompasses a lot of different technologies. So robotics, natural language processing, machine-based learning, and we know from previous episodes that there are technologies out there like Clip that are able to generate images. So I think this is definitely within the scope of 2022, based on what's happened in 2020 and 2021, that we might be able to take this video and filter it into a program and say, give us a 30-second recap. So condensing this entire episode into 30 seconds, that would be a good example of what we did for this episode. I think that's definitely reasonable. I'm going to put this, Matt, I'm going to go 90% here.
I think it's a pretty safe bet, because one of the statistics used in this article says over 80% of all internet data in 2022 will be video, according to Cisco. So the likelihood of this happening is very, very high. So, I mean, maybe you're a little bit more optimistic than what Rob puts down here, but I mean, I don't think that the stats lie. And I mean, let's be honest, we joke about going down the rabbit hole of YouTube, right? And it's because of AI, it's because of the algorithms, it's because they keep feeding us the videos that correspond with what we're looking for. So it's not uncommon to have this happen in your life and you don't even know about it.
Yeah. And that's what makes me think that finally, I know the listening audience is craving the video recordings of these episodes. Maybe we'll turn them into 30-second snippets. The mustaches will still be there, though.
I think they look good, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. So, well,
I guess
it's no comment.
Maybe there's a certain subset of AI that can help us out with that. So, so number five, Dr. Bett, moving on. So an NLP model, which is what we talked about with number one, right? With over 10 trillion parameters will be built. I find this mind blowing, but I'm going to let you elaborate a little bit, then I'll jump in.
Yeah, we've been infatuated, and I would say me with the royal we have been very infatuated with natural language processing for several years. And when GPT came out, I actually wasn't aware of it. GPT-2 came onto the scene, and that was pretty groundbreaking. And then GPT-3. God bless you, GPT-3, even though you've given up on the Man and Machine podcast, came onto the scene and just demonstrated how effective a tool could be that could actually create unique content from a large data set. Now, 10 trillion might seem like a large number, and it definitely is. And I'm not going to get the number 100% correct, Matt, but I think GPT-3 was trained on several hundred billion parameters. And that was from just a small segment of the internet, right? They gave it experience to Wikipedia, and I'm forgetting two other resources. So once you open it up to the entire internet, there's definitely 10 trillion parameters to be used to create content. So I'm going to go here with 90% as well. As you're not going to get 100% from me. Sorry, listening audience. I'm going to go 90% here.
I think it's very obtainable. As you said, you feed the entire internet to GPT-3, or and maybe it's just because GPT-4 is coming out and they're basically decommissioning
GPT-3. Son of GPT-3. Nice.
Yes. So, I mean, you might be touching on old technology at this point, Dr. Bett, and GPT-4 is who we should be contacting to be on this podcast. I like to reference Marvel movies and characters with this podcast, Dr. Bett. I mean, this is Ultron level stuff. I mean, having the access to the entire internet for GPT-4 is awesome and frightening at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. And what I don't want to do is create some family Discord here. So GPT-4 comes onto the Man and Machine podcast. I think we should make sure that GPT-4 has gotten some approval from GPT-3, just so that we don't get in trouble with the father of GPT-4. And, you know, it does put here in this article that GPT-3 had 175 billion parameters. Right. And so these are discrete pieces of information from which to pull from. They're talking about the 1 trillion parameter barrier having been broken by Google with 1.6 trillion parameters. So again, 1.6 trillion has been done. That's 10 times what GPT-3 had. And so going to 10 trillion is just kind of like opening another door to the internet. You know, as long as it's not the deepest, darkest parts of the dark web, I think we'll be okay. But GPT-4 will be the judge of that.
You know, will the machines help us?
Yeah, only if we let them.
Very true. And who knows what corners of the web GPT-4 will pull from. So let's hope it's the good parts. Moving on to number 6, Dr. Bennett, I think this is very relevant today. And it talks about collaboration and investment will all but cease between American and Chinese actors in the field of AI. Is this the next Cold War, Dr. Bett?
Wow, Matt. One of the most brilliant things, and I'm using brilliant loosely, I think about the work that we've done on the Man and Machine podcast is not focusing just on one topic in AI. You definitely have a different mindset, skill set, experience than I do. Same thing with my brother, Will Bett, who's been host and co-host of this podcast, definitely with the guests we've had. We've talked about government and AI. We've talked about the military and AI. Guess what? Number one military opponent, China. Number one governmental opponent, China. I've been on record as saying it's only a cold war because it's on the internet. And the internet is like space. Space is a very, very cold place to be. I think this is 100% accurate. And actually, on my way to the lab this morning, Matt, at Industrious, to record this episode of Man and Machine Podcast, I was listening to another podcast. And this is what they were talking about. We're going to have a standstill here in 2022, I think, on collaboration between China and the U.S. I'm curious to get your perspective, what thoughts come into your mind.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's already happening, right? They're already pushing for walling off U.S. university research in AI from the Chinese. So there's initiatives out there to basically shut it down on our end. And I know that it's being shut down on their end as well. So, you know, we are a global economy. So I find it difficult to not be able to interact with one another. But at the same time, the race for AI supremacy is one that will dominate the future. So I think it's hard to say, yes, China, you're going to take the lead and we're going to follow on this one because of how we are as a country. We like to lead. We lead the world. So, but I'm not sure that we're actually leading the fight in AI, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, I think we've come to that conclusion. And I think in episode 70, it's okay. Episode 71, excuse me, for us to say that we've had that discussion and maybe not said it as clearly as we're saying today, but definitely this is going to come to a standstill. You know, this piece in Forbes again mentions Eric Schmidt, the former Google CEO, as being very instrumental here in the U.S. federal government's efforts to assess whether this should happen, whether we should put up this barrier. And we talked about his perspective on episode 56, actually, Eric Schmidt on AI. So if you're listening to this episode of the podcast and didn't listen to that one, definitely would reference you back there because he is a thought leader. He's been a CEO of one of the biggest companies that's been the most influential. And if he is playing a role here with the government, I think this is a certainty. I am tempted, Matt, to go 100% here, but I have already committed to not. I'm going to go 95%. I think when we look back on 2022, this is going to be the year that our other hopeful future guest, Kai-Fu Lee, I think he is right that the U.S. and China arms race in AI is going to reach its peak in 2022.
Yeah, there's already investment blacklist going on with certain, you know, Chinese companies. You know, the lack of, you know, being able to transfer some knowledge and open up our education system to this. I mean, this is, we're kind of playing a big game of chicken with AI right now, you know, with China, and someone's going to balk. And I think in this case, it'd be best that we balk and we collaborate to grow than it would be to shut it off and then fall farther behind the leader in AI. So I think we're on the same page with this. I think it's going to happen. It's already happening in a way. So I think we're just looking at the doomsday scenario, which is, you know, will we completely wall off or not? So, but I think we're on the same page. So moving on to number seven, as we are mindful of the time here on the podcast. So multiple large cloud data platforms will announce new synthetic data initiatives. Maybe if you can, Dr. Bett, if possible, explain what synthetic data is, then talk about this and its relevancy.
Yeah, so this is actually a really interesting concept, Matt. And I'm not familiar in the realm outside of medicine, but definitely it's a topic that I've spoken to many thought leaders on and read articles about. So data in the US can be all sorts of information from a medical standpoint. Could be your height, could be your age, could be a diagnosis, could be a medicine. Now, that data can be used to create a tool for predictive measures.
Right.
But there may not actually be enough data to make the most accurate prediction. So what I think they're talking about here is saying you've got, let's say, 100 pieces of data, just to use a small number, and that's going to be the data that you actually analyze. Now you want a training set of data to actually train the new tool on, this AI tool. And so you can create age-matched peers with similar circumstances, demographics, treatments, medications, that these are not real people with real information. But because of the power of the AI tool, it is actually really, really, really helpful in making the right predictions, which then you can transpose onto actual data. That's a very general perspective, but at least in the field of medical data, that's what they're talking about. Do you have other thoughts, considerations based on your own experience?
Yeah, I think this is definitely going to become a reality, right? So we talked about in a previous episode, you know, kind of the matrix version of fields of servers, right? Because, I mean, in order to be able to house all this data, you have to have the storage and the capacity to be able to do it. So, you know, Amazon Web Services, for example, you know, AWS, when you're creating these platforms and these spaces to store the data, you know, the more data you can store, the more, I guess, synthetic data you can manufacture, right? So you add in more components and those, you know, like you said, my height, my weight, previous health issues can predict, you know, where I'm going to be in the future. So can that predict how my kids' future will be? I mean, that, you know, we're talking about you need the space and the capability, the computing power to be able to do that. So yeah, I think this is a no-brainer. I mean, this is definitely going to happen. We're doing this, we're going to the cloud, everything is expanding. So it's just another server on the rack that's going to be able to give you a little more space to predict the future. So I think this is a no-brainer, Dr. Bett.
Yeah. And so I didn't give my percentage and I'm going to do it here in a second. Where would you go? Because you seem nearly 100%. Are you going to go 100% here?
I mean, nothing is 100%, but I'll go 99% on this one.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go 90% here because we're talking about things that are currently underway. And I would just use the example, you know, sometimes you watch these videos online and they'll show a bunch of faces and you're like, oh, okay. You see all these people that look different, but similar. And then they're like, hey, these are all not real people. These have been generated from taking thousands or hundreds of thousands of photos and figuring out what human beings look like. But none of these people are actually real. I think it's the same idea here with the synthetic data. Again, Amazon powerhouse behemoth. You've got Google Cloud Facebook. Platform, Facebook, and then our old friend Scale AI also got a shout out here.
Yeah. I mean, those companies are not investing in this. They don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
So maybe not 100%, but I think we're both on the same page. It's pretty close.
Yeah. I like the fact that you went 99% though. That's why I didn't give my number. I wanted to see how close you were.
Yeah. And like always, like the mustaches, we ride or die together. So it's pretty close.
I love it.
Number eight, which is something that we talked about before the podcast or a little pre-show conversation. So Toronto will establish itself as the most important AI hub in the world outside of Silicon Valley and China. So going back to the previous point, the Cold War between the U.S. and China, and maybe there's the Switzerland of the group, and that's Toronto. Mm.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Matt, when you think about it. Obviously, Canada gets a lot of guff from us Americans. But I want to point out here, Toronto, if for those that haven't visited, yes, it's cold. However, it's not that far away from major U.S. cities. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. It's a hop, skip, and a jump plane ride. I've been there myself, and actually one of the leading global institutions, the Temetry Center for AI and Medicine at the University of Toronto, is in Toronto. So I see this because of, as you alluded to, the Cold War in cyberspace between the US and China coming to a standstill, that many individuals, small companies, corporations, startups are going to find respite in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about a short plane ride from Columbus. I live in Toledo, which is 2 hours north of Columbus. So it's an even, you know, you can drive to Toronto from Toledo and be there in just a couple hours. So, but you know, one of the things that's interesting, and you kind of mentioned before, and I joked about it being in Switzerland, but in a way that can kind of become true because Toronto is a very multinational city, right? I mean, there's people from all over the world that move to Toronto, people from China that move away to, you know, move their families to Toronto because it's very accepting. You know, it could be a spot for collaboration on a lot of levels with AI, I think. And you'd kind of have a safe haven where, you know, you're not really tied to American policies or Chinese policies. You can kind of go up there and just keep moving the ball forward. So I find it to be a place that, yeah, could see some substantial growth in that market.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain of that. Again, it is I know I'm going to get the number wrong, Matt, but I think the entire population of Canada is somewhere between 20 and 25 million people. Toronto is yet still a global hub and an international global hub. You're right. It is very, very diverse in thought and perspective, a very welcoming, just like the rest of Canada, eh? You know, there's a lot of warmth and Tim Hortons in Canada, but Toronto and the Temetry Center for AI and Medicine is something I follow very closely on social media. I've attended some of their lectures, and this is why this is going to happen, because it is ready to go all in on AI.
I agree. So, I mean, again, probably not 100%, right? I mean, but it's probably pretty close in the 90s, I would think, to making this a reality. But I'll defer to your expert opinion on that.
Great.
Do you have a percentage? Are you going to give a percentage for this one?
Oh, I didn't give a percentage. Wow. Sorry, Matt. I was hoping to get away there. I've said 90% multiple times on these. I've said 95%. I'm not throwing shade on Toronto here by saying 85%, but I just can't go 90 or 95% again. If we'd gone in reverse order, probably would have gotten a higher percentage. I'm just going to break my trend here and say 85%.
You're just a cautious bettor. I mean, you're kind of playing the odds, you know, you put your money down on the favorites and then you kind of, you know, reduce the bet on ones that maybe are a little more of a wild card. So I respect that. I respect that. Now, number nine is something that we have talked about before in previous podcasts. It is something that is going to be a topic of conversation moving forward, I think, in a lot of ways. And it's responsible AI, in quotation marks, right, will begin to shift from a vague catch all term to an operationalized set of enterprise practices. That's a mouthful, Dr. Bett, but I think it's something that's very relevant today.
Yeah, and if you follow Archimedes International on Twitter, you will see that I changed the banner, which had been photos, to some text. And I'm going to not quote it directly, but basically it was the quote from Elon Musk from a few years ago that predicted that the robotic part of AI was going to become near seamless with what we can see. And certainly what we can see actually happening. And that has happened. We talked about Amica on a previous episode of the Man Machine Podcast, which was highlighted at CES here recently. And from a software standpoint, which is what this is referring to, not the robotic standpoint, but from a software standpoint, everything that we've talked about, these first eight, get us to a point where we better have some responsible AI. Because if we are in this Cold War in cyberspace with China, we better have the rest of the world believing and thinking about AI being responsible. Not saying that China is not going to do that, but we want to have a global perspective that if we unleash software that can make its own decisions, that it's going to act on our behalf.
Yeah, no doubt. And we talked about in a previous episode, I mean, on a smaller scale, you know, we're talking pretty scary stuff here, I think, but Facebook having a bad week, right? Then going over to Meta and say, hey, everything is great. I mean, you're talking about, you know, algorithms for instance, you know, AI that basically is upsetting, you know, what you see on Instagram, right? And what feeds your page and gives you issues and self-confidence issues. And I mean, that's a small subset of things, but you change a little bit in what you're able to see and it can change your entire life. So imagine, you know, software run amok that could ruin banking systems. And, you know, I mean, God knows what else, you know, we can go down a dark rabbit hole for this. If we don't have some standards and some things in place that can police improper use of AI.
Yeah. And this piece here, again, talks about multiple Fortune 500 companies like Walmart, General Motors, mm-hmm. Nike, and CVS announcing the Data and Trust Alliance, which is looking to detect and combat algorithmic bias. So to your point, it may not just be about finding videos on YouTube or seeing posts on Twitter, but actually what those things include. So causing a massive devaluation of the stock market because some AI tool creates a false document, false headline, causing panic and fear that cannot be reversed. And so, yes, we must be thoughtful. It's not just about buying shoes and watching videos. It is about people's personal protection and I think financial freedoms.
Yeah. And I think on a side note, you know, like the crypto market is kind of that, right? It's all hearsay and it's, you know, Elon Musk comes out and says something positive about Dogecoin and the price moves a little bit or, you know, a lot or can go the other way too, you know? So it's very, it doesn't take much, right? It doesn't take much to be able to change perceptions and to shift that financial bias.
Yeah. And just a quick point, because you made me think of something. We know that many influential Twitter accounts, believe in 2020, were hacked and were putting out tweets that appeared to be from these individuals. And they were fairly benign. But again, to your point, imagine hacking Elon Musk's Twitter account. And in a short period of time before he knows it or anyone else realizes it, the content causes people to make massive investments or removal of investments, whether that's from his own companies like Tesla, mm-hmm. or in the cryptocurrency market. So again, there's a lot of ways, and that's why so many of these companies and thought leaders, maybe ourselves included, are considering the ramifications.
No doubt. Now, Dr. Bett, we've reached the end of the top 10 list, and number 10 is reinforcement learning will become an increasingly important and influential AI paradigm. That's another mouthful.
Yeah, and I'm going to go 95% here, Matt. And I'm leading with my percentage because for the listening audience, there I'll include the hyperlink to the academic article. I'm going to do my best here in the next 30 seconds to summarize it. But basically, we know how humans behave. Okay. This is the basis of human psychology. Thoughts lead to actions. Actions lead to thoughts. Thoughts lead to actions. Actions lead to thoughts. That is reinforcement. If it's positive, you're going to do it again. If you view it as being negative, you're going to not do it again or do it less. And basically, this is saying recognizing how humans behave and creating software, artificial intelligence that does things similarly is actually what is going to get artificial intelligence to be like humans.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you're talking about a subset of data for GPT-3 being 175 billion, words and parameters and what it can search. Now you're going to go up to 10 trillion with GPT-4. So, I attribute it to, the kid that starts to be able to walk, right? And starts to walk around the room and figures out things and falls down and learns from that and figures out how to climb up the steps. I mean, once it starts exploring, there's no stopping it. So, and that data set's only going to grow. I think you're right. I mean, 95%, I think you're just being kind. I know you want to go to 100%, but you're not going to pull the trigger on it. So I respect that. Again, we've talked about your betting habits in the past. And I'll roll with you in the 95%.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, Matt, again, I'm going to link this academic paper. I don't expect people are necessarily going to read it, but the paper's titled Reward is Enough. And this was written by some data scientists from Google DeepMind. This was a big development when it came out in October 2021. We didn't dedicate a specific episode on the Man and Machine podcast to it because I thought it was a little bit too dorky, but hey, it made it into Forbes. So now we can talk about it. And a quick aside, sometimes we focus on our day-to-day lives, our day-to-day existence. I think we tried to take a global approach, but I actually emailed a colleague who worked with one of my mentors in research, said, hey, I don't know if you've seen this article yet. Now, she's in Portugal. She said, my husband literally just dropped this paper on my desk as I was opening your email. This is a game changer because I think for artificial general intelligence, we have thought about it as being Amica plus software. And actually, when you transpose an understanding of human behavior into the software, you recognize that we are much more simple than we give ourselves credit for. Reward is enough.
No doubt. And once you dump that software into a robotic being, that's when we start to take cover because of Skynet.
Yeah, Skynet had to get a shout out on this episode. But if we can make friends with Amica, I think we'll be okay.
I think so too. I just saw the clock running down on today's episode and knew that we hadn't used that just yet. So I threw it out there. It was a Hail Mary at the end of this podcast.
Well, Hail Mary full of grace, Amica is with thee. Is that how we're going to end?
I think so. And I do want to mention, what you'll do is you are going to post the link to the 2021 predictions on the Man and Machine Twitter feed, right? I mean, we've got the Twitter feed alone for Man and Machine separate from Archimedes. So The army is growing, if you will. So before we end today's podcast, I just want you to kind of introduce what's going on here, what's new and what's exciting with the Man Machine Podcast and Archimedes International.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Matt. You and I started down this journey with the Man and Machine Podcast over a year and a half ago. We're finishing episode 71. I think it's been a big success because we've had multiple people reach out to us and ask if they could share their mission, their goals, their thoughts on science and technology and artificial intelligence. So we're going to continue to do that. Got some other great guests already lined up to join us to talk about their work. I'll be reaching out to a few more. Had an opportunity to participate in a global summit at the beginning of January through Archimedes International, talking about artificial intelligence and medicine. So you're right, we're expanding. We were GPT-2, I think we're up to GPT-3, shout out to GPT-3. As we've expanded on Twitter to get our own podcast, our own page for the podcast, working on getting a website up for the podcast itself. So if you're listening and you're like, man, these guys are so cool, or their topics are interesting at least, and I need to correct them because I have some knowledge, reach out to us, whether that's on Twitter at Archimedes INTE2 or at Man and Machine on Twitter, ArchimedesInternational.net, all sorts of places to find us. If you can't find us, then we don't want to be found, I think.
Well, you've already done the hard work for me, Dr. Bett, because my next question was to be how to find you on the interwebs, but you've already laid that out for us. So that is great. Any closing thoughts on today's episode?
I really enjoy having you with me, Matt, on this journey. We like the content that Forbes puts out. Very, very approachable. Rob Toews did a great job. Hopefully he can give us a shout out on Twitter. Episode 71 in the books.
It is. And the way that the podcasts are flowing, every day I'm looking on Twitter and 71, 72, 73. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. I know that you mentioned before 2021 was over that 2022 was going to be a year to really grow this podcast. So I'm excited to be on this journey with you. And I want to thank the listening audience for being a part of this journey with us as well. We appreciate you listening, finding us on Twitter, working with us, communicating with us, giving us exciting topics. It's very intriguing for us and exciting to grow this podcast for you. So thank you, Dr. Bett, for today's episode. And for everyone else, please remember, the imagined fuels reality.